Thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, The Future of SOA on ZOS, Built on a Smarter Foundation of CICS TS Version 4, WAS Version 7, and Rational. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn from the architectural leaders for IBM's key business application offerings about how the important advances in business application capabilities from development to deployment to execution have changed the game for business applications for ZOS. The speakers for today's teleconference are Steve Kinder, SOA Foundation Architect, Ian Mitchell, CICS Transaction Server for ZOS Architect, and Cindy Krause, Rational Developer for SystemZ Architect. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to our first speaker, Steve Kinder.
Thanks. As we started out, we'll have a multi-speaker presentation. I'll be taking you through a quick recap of kind of the prerequisite course that you may have already listened to, or perhaps you're an SCA expert already. But I'll take you on a quick recap of what we talked about in the previous session. And then we're going to turn it over to Ian, who's going to take us through KIC's offering around SCA. We have a portfolio scenario with some Rational Developer for System Z tooling with Cindy. So if we zip on to just quickly to slide 5 then, as a recap to what SCA is, as we discussed in the previous educational session, SCA stands for Service Component Architecture, and it essentially is a concrete, realized form of programming for SOA. It's essentially for building loosely coupled service-oriented applications. IBM certainly focuses on that aspect of SCA. It's a framework, multilingual, multi-platform, for implementing, assembling, composing, and deploying services. So the big focus in SCA is about services. It's providing a service-oriented view of the world. As we'll see later in the tools, we'll see a view of this where what we're trying to bring to the design of applications for services in an SOA is kind of a circuit board mentality. You put circuits on the board and you wire them together, and you'll see that shortly. Cindy will be taking us through some of those slides. What we talked about previously was that there's a set of extensibility aspects to SCA around the notion of how services are wired together or protocol bindings, what the service is actually implemented using, so potentially Java, maybe COBOL, and then, you know, any variety of implementation languages are certainly possible from the architecture. Last time we focused on Java. I think you'll see this time we'll focus on COBOL. We have different interface definition languages, pluggable data binding, and certainly IBM has been forging the way for some time around SCA, leading with what we lovingly refer to as classic SCA in the WPS products. We introduced that support. That support was then taken to a collaboration of vendors at OSOA and provide a open SCA format. Now, if we look at slide 6, the gist was, in the previous discussion, that we have a component model that describes services. So in this diagram, we'll start in the middle component. We have services exposed as green chevrons in this on the left. Those are services to a component. The purple chevrons on the right are references. Those are services that the component needs to be wired up to behave properly. And then the components can then tie to implementation kinds. This particular example shows WebSphere with an implementation.java, and we'll see later KIC with a different implementation kind. In this example, we can expose those services over web service, EJB bindings, or even a homegrown kind of SCA binding. And then likewise, we can use services with those similar binding types. We talked about that in detail in the previous call, and I only bring that up to remind you and refresh you about the concept. Okay, let's go on to the next slide. So one of the things that was interesting and we talked about previously was that the specification landscape out there in SCA world is decomposed into different discrete capabilities and functions. The piece parts of the SCA conceptual model are decomposed primarily because we expect that this is a multilingual, multi-application environment. It's built to run in a J2SE environment, a JEE environment, or even something as familiar to us as KIX. And so we tend to move away from language-specific bindings. From the core, we want that assembly model, the composite metadata that describes the services and their relationships, to be neutral. And so the core is very language neutral and extensible. Then you tie in different binding types, web service binding, EJB binding, we suggested. And then your application environment will then pick and choose those implementations and binding that make sense in their environment, tie in the policies that make sense, and essentially deliver an SCA runtime for that that's tailored for that environment. So each environment is going to have their own implementation kinds, their own binding kinds, but the concepts are the same, the assembly model's the same, and how all of this glues together is the exact same concept. That's very flexible. There's a number of different spec variants out at the different standard organizations, and there's links in the back to them. But essentially, what is interesting about this model is it is language neutral and application environment neutral. And as a matter of fact, now we're going to transition to Ian, who's going to talk about KIX and SCA. So, Ian?
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, so if we move on to Chart 8, you can see that in the next few slides, I'm going to talk about some SCA support that we've put into the new release of KIX. So you'll see that I'm going to talk about KIX Transaction Server version 4.1. And on Chart 9, you can see that this is the new release of KIX that we preview announced on February the 24th of 2009. And this will be available either in the second or early third quarter of 2009. The main features on Chart 9 that we are focusing on for 4.1 fall into three main themes, those being to compete more strongly with the existing business applications you've got, to comply with the ever-increasing corporate and industry and government policies where you need to govern your system and ensure that your applications are compliant with regulatory conditions, and also to respond to the ever-increasing need to be efficient in how you control your costs. So there we are trying to radically simplify the IT infrastructure and the skill base and the tasks that you need to efficiently run your KIX systems. So as you can see there, the Transaction Server version 4.1 will be available later in 2009, but starting at the end of March, you're able to participate in a completely open beta by registering at that website address that I've put at the bottom of the chart. That gives you access to KIX version 4.1 either to actually install or if you just want to go and look at the info center to find out all about the new features in 4.1. So going on to chart 10, this is the first of three charts just to put the SCA support we've put into 4.1 into some context. So here on chart 10, we can see that there are a number of features that are present in 4.1 to enable you to compete and to flexibly exploit your existing application assets. And probably number one amongst these features is our support for application components centered around SCA-compliant features. We've also introduced the notion of application component bundles that is a very powerful way to simplify the deployment of these components. So we'll talk a little bit more about the specifics of SCA shortly. But just to round out the release content, we've also taken the opportunity to implement some features that help you integrate KIX into a Web 2.0 or RESTful architecture. And these are centered around introducing the ability to expose your KIX services and data as Atom feeds. Atom is a very popular and simple means by which you can broaden the consumers of those KIX services and data. We continue to invest heavily in web services and SOAP and the XML features of KIX, And these are very complementary to the service component architecture features that we'll describe shortly. But this time round, we've in particular added features for WS addressing and also broadened and deepened and made more efficient the XML data mapping that we offer for either exposing KIX applications as web services or indeed for KIX to be a web service consumer. In particular there, we're exploiting platform capabilities to employ the ZOS system services parser for part of the XML processing, which gives particularly good performance characteristics as well as price performance characteristics. Java continues to be a primary platform for us to have people implement their business logic on KIX, and so to keep up with the Java technology, we've implemented Java 6 in TS version 4.1. That moves on from Java 5, which was made available on version 3.2 via PTF. Event processing has been a very important area for our development of 4.1, and that does enable a great degree of flexibility for extending your applications. So you can use the event processing capabilities in 4.1, complementary to event processing engines such as WebSphere Business Events, to really get more value and information out of your existing KIX assets, which increases their flexibility. Moving on to chart 11, I've also listed event processing as an important characteristic for how we're enabling you to comply with your governance and compliance requirements. Event processing can both enhance and extend the application, but it can also feed things like business dashboards and WebSphere Business Monitor in order to ensure that your applications are compliant with all the regulations that your business is probably facing. In terms of complying, we have also added a number of features to the system side of things rather than the application side, starting with metadata for controlling and tracking and auditing your resource definitions. So we're able now to completely track the life cycle of those resource definitions. So as you make configuration changes, you have much better means to control those, both for compliance and problem determination scenarios. There is a platform initiative to promote identity propagation throughout the application stack, and KIX version 4.1 will be participating in the identity propagation specification. We've also enhanced security with DB2 to simplify and extend the way in which identities are propagated through the application. Our WebSphere service registry and repository support, which we introduced with version 3.2, is now integrated into the base of TS version 4.1, and that will complement the DSCA support that we have in the rest of the product. Moving on to the last of our three major themes, that of controlling costs through simplification, one of the major items there is the KIX Explorer, which you may well be aware of through our announcement last November. That is radically simplifying the experience that people have of KIX, and really it's the new face of KIX along with all the KIX tools. So there's very tight integration and coverage of all the tasks that you need to perform related to KIX through that modern interface. That is enabled via the new server management interface, the KIX management interface, which is itself based on some of those RESTful principles I talked about just a couple of minutes ago. So it's a real proof point that that's a valuable way in which to orient and architect your applications. We've also introduced a CSD, that's the KIX System Definition Repository API, so that all of those resource definitions that live on your CSDs can now be accessed and manipulated via the KIX Explorer. In order to support the many Tivoli tools better that work with KIX, we now are supplying a discovery library adapter that adheres to this new KIX model that is exemplified in the Explorer and the management interface. And that model now flows through all the KIX runtime, the Qix tools, and also into the Tivoli tools. Qix's ability to efficiently workload manage its workload is enhanced in version 4.1 by exploiting the coupling facility. This greatly enhances the efficiency through which Qix can execute workload. We also continue our road to offering TCP/IP as an alternative intercommunication mechanism, and this time round we've added the ability to route 3270 transactions from TORs to AORs using a TCP/IP connection. But along with the other infrastructure work to do with TCP/IP, we've added IPv6 support, which gives you considerable relief to the constraints on IP addressing. Another major feature from the management side is the introduction of MQ group attach. So this is the ability to simplify the connection between Qix and WebSphere MQ by specifying a group queue sharing group name rather than a specific queue manager, which helps in numerous management and availability scenarios. But on chart 13, let's get down to the specifics of our component architecture capabilities in 4.1. And really, our objectives here were to provide the ability to integrate with the rest of the service component architecture world and to develop flexible and reusable Qix application components. So the ability to describe Qix applications as SCA components is what we're really focusing on here. We're not asking people to recast and rethink how they write the actual applications, but really to get more value and more flexibility out of those Qix applications. And part of the power of doing that is to build on the web services work that was really at the core of version 3 and separate the bindings from the application code to reduce the coupling between the consumer of a service, which might be WebSphere application server, and the provider of the service, maybe Qix COBOL application. And also to do this in a common way, thus simplifying and reducing the level of skill required and making it a more common experience for how you build these business applications. So the specific features on chart 14 are the ability to manage business applications as SCA, so that's describe them, develop them, deploy them, and then manage them at runtime. So this is related to using the power of the SCA specifications, extending them for specific Qix purposes, which we'll look at shortly, and then having a powerful runtime and management capability to really get the best from that investment. So Qix applications are now describable using service component description language, and Cindy will show us how we can use that power within the tools to really compose applications together. We implement services and references, and we have used the flexibility in the specification to provide different bindings for a Qix-to-Qix service invocation versus an external web services-based invocation. And this is all around the what is becoming the very familiar execkix invoke service or web service command that is very familiar to COBOL programmers, and we'll see specific examples of that shortly. This really is very complementary and really depends on RDZ providing that first-class development environment, and we're sharing technology between Qix runtime and RDZ to ensure that we've got a tight integration and a really good user experience for that development. So chart 15 is the same, basically the same chart that Steve showed to introduce the elements of SCA, but I've added on the Qix specific parts. So you'll see that we have added a Qix implementation type, so that allows us to have a Qix COBOL application or PL1 application as the implementation. We have a Qix binding, and the Qix runtime will support the web service binding, a locally optimized Qix binding, and also an SCA binding, which would be the default, and the runtime will determine the precise binding. We have very good interoperability with the rest of the Qix application. It's a very natural way for Qix developers to invoke these services and to develop server applications. This time round, we have not implemented any of the policy framework, or since we have many different ways to configure the behavior of a Qix application that didn't require very much augmentation in order to move into the world of SCA. One part of the implementation model that Qix is not implementing this time around that I think I should tell you about is that we do not implement SCA properties. So the way in which you create your Qix applications is very much how you're used to, with the additional benefits of the description of the services, of service components, and the flexibility of the bindings. Those are the number one capabilities that we're introducing with our SCA support. So, Qix is supporting SCA as a first-class way of describing applications and of binding to them. For the rest of the session, we're going to use a quick example to try and make that more concrete. So on chart 17, you can see here that what we're proposing to use as the example is a portfolio service. This would be a share portfolio query service, perhaps. And here we can see that there's some SCDL describing that service. And in this case, this service is going to be provided by a Qix program within a Qix transaction environment. So on the left-hand side of the chart, we can see that there's a service to a component, and that's described with that piece of SCDL on chart 17. But this portfolio service needs to invoke a second tier of services. And so the portfolio service has a reference to a specific stock quote service. And here we see that added to the Scuttle so that the Qix application can now make that service invocation when it needs to. And we can see that we've specified the binding there as binding.ws. The specific programming model that supports this is the Channels and Containers API. This was introduced in version 3.1, and we're very much building on that through version 4.1. You can see that we put data into channels or containers in channels, and then we can invoke a service. On chart 20, we can see that over on the service provider side, which here we're illustrating with a WebSphere application server, SCA service, that is also described using some SCDL, and we have some Java code on chart 21 that describes how that is going to be implemented as a service component. Here we can see it's a WebSphere POJO type component with some annotations that describe how it's going to relate to the SCA binding. So with that, I hope that you understand the sort of scenario we're going after, and I'll hand over to Cindy, who's going to describe how we make that real in terms of implementation using Rational Developer for System Z.
Okay, thanks, Ian. So on chart 23, you'll see the Rational Developer for System Z. For those of you that may not be familiar with RDZ, it's an Eclipse-based integrated development environment that combines COBOL, PL1, C, C++, Assembler, and Java tooling capabilities. It allows application developers to build multi-tiered, mixed workload applications that leverage XML and web services. So in the next few slides, I'll show you how this tooling can be used to create and deploy the artifacts that Ian just described in the portfolio scenario. So we'll start by opening up the Enterprise Service Tools perspective, create an SCA project, and then import some existing application resources. So to create an SCA project, you would just right-click in the EST Project Explorer and select the new SCA project. So the project wizard opens up, and you can specify a project name and then select the Java and Qix implementation types for the components that we'll be adding to this project. Okay, next we need to import some resources. Okay, this SCA application requires some pre-existing application assets in order to function correctly. So I have the Kix COBOL program that Ann pointed to. It's called portfolio.cobol. And I have a WSDL service definition, getstocks.wsdl. And I may even have the SCDL for the MyStockQuote service. Okay, so I would just use the Eclipse's file import wizard and import these files from my local system into my SCA project. So on chart 24, you'll see the import wizard, and you can browse and select the location where this COBOL file is and your WSDL and so forth. And then when you click finish, the resources then will be imported into your SCA project. Okay, on chart 25, we'll create a component type for the Kix implementation. So using the program logic for the portfolio application program, the Kix COBOL file, I'll create the associated service resources, including the WSDL, the Kix bind file, or WSBind, and a component type file. So a component type file contains the configurable aspects of the implementation, such as the services offered by the implementation and any references that implementation may have which require services from other component implementations. So I would select new Kix SCA component type. I would browse and select the portfolio COBOL file. For this particular service, I'm going to use interpretive XML conversion versus compiled conversion, so I'll make that selection in the wizard page. Then the wizard pages will ask you for additional information, so it will give you the opportunity to select the messages for the request and the response, okay, for the service. So in my case, I'm going to select account info data for the request and then customer info for the response. Then I don't actually show all of them here, but there are other tabs in this wizard that allow you to add additional application and service properties. For example, the service location, which should be updated with a valid server and port number. Okay. Also, the portfolio COBOL program uses a channel interface for the data exchange. So you would have the opportunity to enter the channel and the container name. All that would be under the application properties. Okay. Then on chart 26, you would specify the names for the service artifacts that we'll be creating. So the actual name you want the WSDL and the WSBind files to be named. Okay. Once you finish this wizard, then you'll have a portfolio component type, the WSDL, and the KixBind file all created in your SCA project. Okay, the next step, which I don't actually show it here in the chart, but we need to create a portfolio composite. So SCA applications organize components within composites. Okay, so I'd select new SCA composite. The wizard would open up, and you can set the project, the output location, the composite name, and the target namespace. And then when you finish this wizard, the new composite's created, and it opens up in the composite editor. Okay, so on chart 27, now we begin creating our components. So we're going to create a Kix portfolio component. So within the tooling, there are various ways to create your components. So you can use the composite editor's palette or action bar, or use the new component wizard. So in this particular example, I'm going to use the new component wizard by selecting new SCA component. Okay, so the wizard comes up and you select the project and composite from the drop-down list and then set the component name, in this case to my portfolio component. So for the interface type, I'm going to select WSDL and then choose the option to reuse an existing service interface. So I use the select button and I go search for that interface that I just previously created. Okay. Then for the implementation type, I'm going to select Kix and then choose the option to reuse an existing implementation. So I use the select button again to search for the component type that I just previously created. Okay. When I click finish, then you'll see on chart 28, the component will be created within my existing composite. On chart 29, you can see on the implementation tab that the implementation for this component has been pre-configured based on all the selections that I made in the new component wizard. Right on chart 30, now I'll begin creating the Java MyStockQuote component and the service for that. So for this service, I did have the WSDL, a GetStocks ThoughtWisdom, and I've imported that into my SCA project using the same import wizard as I did for the COBOL program. So now to create this component, I'm going to use the palette associated with the composite editor. So I just click over in the palette on the component icon and drop it onto the composite editor. I can then change the name of the component right in the component, or I can use the properties view at the bottom of the window. I would go to the core tab and then just change the name field. If I go to the implementation tab, see the implementation for this component must be configured. Okay, or if I had the Skittle, right, I could have imported that in, and then these values would be pre-configured. So on that implementation tab, you should see the implementation type is Java, and the class is the MyStockQuoteInfo class for the Java program that Ann talked about earlier. All right, so on chart 31, now we're going to create a reference. So we need a reference from the portfolio component to the MyStockQuote component. And you can use create a new reference using the composite editor action bar or the palette, just like we did when we created the components. So to use the action bar, you just place the pointer above the component. When the bar appears, then you select Add Component Reference. Then if you click on the icon for the reference you added, you can see the properties, and then you need to rename the reference name for the portfolio component to MyStockQuoteService. And then you connect up the components by wiring them together in the composite editor. Okay? Then you can click on the service, okay, for the MyStockQuote component. And down in the interface tab, you'll see that the interface tab is WSDL. And then you can browse and find that GetStocks WSDL that I imported earlier. Okay? Then the interface fields will be populated with the appropriate values. We also need to add a web service binding to this service. Okay, so on chart 32, you'll see the fields for specifying the service name and the URI information for the binding. Okay, so then on charts 33 and 34, I just show the interface and the web service bindings for the portfolio service. So if you click on the icon for the service for the portfolio component, then in the properties view, you can see the interface that was pre-configured when I created the component. We'll also need to add a web service binding for our portfolio service as well. All right, so again, we'd click on the binding tab. We'd enter the name and URI for the binding. And if you scroll down a bit in that view, you'll see the kicks attributes for the binding. So here I want to select the bind file that I created previously, the portfolio WS bind file. Okay, and you also can specify here the appropriate value for your pipeline attribute, and that will be based on the pipeline resources you configured for your KIX region. Okay, so the next thing we need to do is promote the service. So my portfolio service can be promoted up as a service available for the composite. So I just right-click on the component and choose the Promote menu option. Okay, so on chart 35, then that shows the actual resultant Skittle file for the portfolio composite. So you'll see in there the My Portfolio component. It's KIX implementation, it's got a web service binding, and it's referenced there to the MyStockQuote service, which, of course, is a Java implementation and is also has a web service binding. Okay, so once you've completed the assembly of the SCA application, the next step is the deployment. So on chart 36, you create a bundle containing all the required SCA resources and deploy it to ZOS. So as Ann discussed before, a bundle is a collection of KIX resources, artifacts, references, and a manifest that represent the application. So bundles are used to more easily manage the availability of an application and the life cycle of its resources. So in order to take full advantage of all the capabilities provided by the tooling, you need to create and establish a ZOS connection. Okay, and you can do that by using RDZ's Remote System Explorer's view and create a connection to the KIX resource definition server. Then using all the controls and the fields available in the Deploy SCA Bundle dialog. Then the SCA resources, they'll be packaged into a bundle archive file, transferred to the bundle location that you specified, and then unpacked from the archive file. The bundle resource definition will be created in RDZ's Application Deployment Manager manifest file, and the bundle resource can then be installed into the specific Kix region that you specified. So if you select there in that wizard to install the bundle resource at the end of the deployment, then the Kix system messages then can be viewed in the console. If you don't, as an application developer, if you don't have sufficient authority to install the bundle resources at the end of the deployment, then the ADM manifest file can be exported out so that a system programmer or a Kix administrator then could perform the bundle resource definition install. So, Ian mentioned earlier the Kix Explorer. So, on chart 37, you can see that the Kix Explorer is actually integrated into RDZ. Okay, so the Kix system management perspective can be viewed, can be used to view a list of your bundle resources defined for a particular Kix region. So here you can see my portfolio bundle that I deployed. You can also see on this chart the remote system view of my USS bundles directory, which contains this bundle and its contents. Okay, so with that, I'll turn it back over to Ann to talk about the actual execution and running the SCA components in the Kix TS environment.
Thanks, Cindy. Yeah, so if we look on chart 39, we're back looking at the runtime configuration of this portfolio example. And as Cindy's explained, we can take those assets that we've developed with RDZ for the Kix side of things, take the Scuttle file, take the COBOL program, produce the WS bind file, and so the bind file, the WSDL file, and the Scuttle file packaged as the bundle, and then a single deployment step to put that into the Kix runtime. So now we have a Kix application sitting there as a service provider, a service providing the portfolio service. So the COBOL can be invoked using that web service binding from the outside world to get to the point where it needs to invoke the reference, the service reference that was documented in the SCDL, and that constitutes the connection between the Kix part of the application and the part of the application hosted in WebSphere application server. So at that point, we build on the technology that was introduced with version 3 to make the web service binding work, which means the COBOL will populate a set of containers that constitute the interface to the service, and then use the Kix command invoke service to invoke that particular service, which the Scuttle has described as being at a particular on a particular WebSphere server. The Kix application will want to invoke the service reference described in the Scuttle. That will mean that the data is put into the containers on the channel and the exec Kix invoke service command is used. This will use the web services binding, so Kix will marshal all of the data into that web service request and pass that across to the WebSphere application server portion of the application. That is seen as a normal web service invocation of the My Stock Quote service, and WebSphere will execute the Java business logic to satisfy that service invocation. The reply will come back to the portfolio service in Kix, be handled by the runtime, and again, that will be composed back into the first service reply to the portfolio service. So what we've attempted to do here is to show a composed service between Kix TS version 4.1 and WebSphere version 7 as a specific example. And so now I'd like to hand you back to the operator.
Thank you, speakers. Now we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live Q&A session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Now for our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. Or if it was low, press star 3. Now for our next question, what was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Now for our third question, do you plan to integrate your CICS and WAS environments more closely in the future? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. If we do not have or plan to have WAS, press star 3. If we do not have or plan to have CICS, press star 4. We do hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask a question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. At this time, we'll turn the conference back over to our speakers while we wait for questions. Once again, that is star 1 if you have a question or comment. And there appear to be no questions at this time. I'll turn the conference back over to our speakers for any additional or closing remarks. And that will conclude today's teleconference. We do thank you all for your participation, and have a nice day.